This is the Side Hustle Show with Nick Loper, episode 9.
Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, where aspiring part-time entrepreneurs learn how to turn their side hustle dreams into reality. Because your 9-to-5 may make you a living, but your 5-to-9 makes you alive. And now, your host, Nick Loper.
Hey everybody, Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show. Today's episode is about self-publishing and making money as an author, something I've been dabbling in myself for the past year or so, and I've actually been pretty happy and pleasantly surprised with the results in some way. So I wrote my first book last summer, Virtual Assistant, the Ultimate Guide to Finding, Hiring, and Working with Virtual Assistants, primarily to make my virtual assistant site look more legit. I figured visitors would come to the site, see that I was a published author on the subject, and view the content with more authority and credibility. And if I sold a few copies, great. If not, no big deal. It would be a fun experiment either way. And aside from my time, the total cost was only $85, which included a professional editor from Elance and my choice of two $5 covers from Fiverr. The one I ended up using was definitely one of my biggest Fiverr success stories. So you can publish, self-publish very cheaply. And, you know, if you've got some friends that are English majors or something, you could have them edit for you and avoid that cost too. But after publishing, a funny thing happened. Only 2% of the visitors to my site even ever looked at the special book page I made. And of those, and only 2% of those people ever ended up buying it. So in that sense, it was a little bit surprising, the results from that front. But lately, the book is still selling around one copy a day, which ends up being close to $100 a month in relatively passive income at this point, which, you know, it's not a ton of money, but it's still pretty awesome, right? I imagine if I can grow my portfolio of titles a little bit more, it has the potential to really start adding up. So it turns out the Amazon marketplace is huge. It has a ton of buyers there. I forget the number, but you know, almost who doesn't do business with Amazon, right? Nearly every sale I've made has come through their ecosystem rather than from my own site. And I think that's a really important point to make, in that there's an opportunity for aspiring authors to succeed just by virtue of being available on their platform, by showing up to the game, even if you don't have a large audience of your own. It's like the guy hawking programs outside the stadium. He might not sell very many, but he will definitely sell zero if he's not there at all. And to be sure, so full disclosure, my hourly wage as an author is abysmal, but it's something I like to do, and it's only getting better over time. And of course, publishing has many benefits outside of making money too. Now, over the course of the year, I've had the chance to meet and interact with several other Kindle authors, most of which are far more successful than me. And most of these interactions happen through Pat Flynn's Kindle Author Facebook group, which I'll link to in the show notes at sidehustlenation.com/episode9. And one of those authors is Steve Scott, who has turned Kindle publishing from kind of an afterthought side hustle into a pretty serious business in a little over 12 months. He now has 15 titles out, plus a few more under a couple different pen names, and more coming out all the time, and is generating thousands of dollars a month in book royalties. It's a really cool story. You can find his books at ebooksbysteve.com, which will redirect you to his Amazon author page. And you're going to get a ton of value out of this interview, because I know everyone has a book inside of them is just waiting to get out, waiting to get down on paper and out to the world. And during the call, Steve shares some great insights from his journey as an author and how you can get started building a passive income publishing side hustle business of your own. All right, Steve, welcome to the Side Hustle Show.
Hi, Nick. How you doing?
Doing well, thanks. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
So you are a pretty prolific Kindle author. I see on your Amazon page up to 15 titles. You're putting out books faster than I can read them, and they're all you know, really highly rated. And I know they're doing really well. But I wanted to ask how you got the idea to get started. Like, when did you get started as an author?
I actually have a couple answers to that. I published my first book back in February 2012 as more of a traffic generation strategy. I just like I heard that about Kindle, and I just put a book out there basically repurposing 5 blog posts. And I threw it up there, and I promptly forgot about it for about, I would say, like 4 months or so.
Okay.
And I know it's like making a sale a day, a price at 99 cents, really not really valuing any of the content. And actually, it was pretty much literally this time last year, right around my birthday, like the last week of June, that okay. I
happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. That I decided to publish my second book. So I actually put a little more effort into it, but it's a typical how to make money with affiliate marketing. Nothing really that special. So I knew I had that first book, and I never actually tried that quote unquote KDP free days that they had, and I really had no clue what that could do. So I just decided to, as part of promotion for the second book, to run a KDP promotion on the first book, given away for free. I went away for the weekend for 4th of July. I came back, and I noticed that the first book was selling 7 or 8 copies a day. And I was like, wow, this is really interesting. This is actually like for real money. This is, I did a quick calculation that probably pretty much everyone does. Oh, this is $10 a day. That's, thousands of dollars a year.
Yeah, that's outstanding.
So I was like, oh, this is definitely something I want to pursue. But like a lot of things in my life, I had to put it off for about 3 months because I was traveling with my girlfriend for about 2 months. So pretty much I wasn't able to take action up until September of 2012. And then pretty much since then, I've been publishing every 3 or 4 weeks. But I guess the one idea that I had while traveling is that if I actually could take the same effort that I would for my blog post and actually put a ton of really concentrated focus on one individual topic and actually treat each book like it's its own kind of mint or larger blog post, then there would actually be something there as far as like teaching people individual aspects of running an internet business.
Okay. So yeah, you were running an online marketing blog at stevescottsite.com called
Yes.
Authority or Internet Lifestyle Without the BS. Love the catchphrase there. And so there was a shift in strategy from publishing stuff for free on the blog to publishing in book form on Kindle.
Exactly. And I remember putting a ton of effort for like a year or two, a couple of years ago, and pretty much seeing almost no result. Like I would get a lot of traffic, but people really wouldn't do much when they came to my site. They would like the blog post, they would share it, but I didn't have anything to technically offer them besides just one information product.
Okay.
And I guess what I learned to this whole Kindle process is it's kind of a bridge between information products and having a blog, whereas you could write one Kindle book a month and actually have something to regularly offer your blog followers or readers or whatever type of audience you have.
Okay, very cool. So one thing you touched on was KDP, which is the Kindle Direct Publishing, which if you sign up for KDP Select, it's a 3 month, a 3 month term that they lock you in for that says, Amazon will have exclusive rights to your book. The content can't be found anywhere else. And in exchange for that, they're going to let you offer the book up for free for 5 days within that 3 month window. Correct?
Yes, absolutely.
And what's the advantage of giving, you put all this effort into creating your book and we said, hey, we don't want to give content away for free anymore, like on the blog, but now we're going to put it in book form and now we're going to give it away for free. So what's the advantage of doing that?
Well, actually, I have kind of two answers for that because what worked for me 6 months ago is actually starting not to work anymore, and I guess we'll touch on that in a bit. But at one point with KDP, you could basically release it for free, and it would hit basically Amazon's natural algorithm where like free downloads would sometimes equate to paid downloads, and you would get on people's kind of the customer's also bought tab that's right below the book that you're looking at. So basically by giving away a lot of free books, you would kind of game Amazon's algorithm to where once it hits a free chart, you would actually get more paid sales. And it's especially useful if you have no existing platform. You can get a lot of eyeballs on people who have never heard of you before. And if you have other books in your funnel, then people, if they like your one book, they can go buy your future books.
Okay.
Now, with all that said, there's been, I would say, the last 2 or 3 months, there's been kind of a decrease and the results that you get with free promotions. I still think it's a valuable tool for people who are getting started, but if you have an existing platform, then there's other strategies for you might be better suited to try other strategies, like starting a book, selling it at 99 cents instead of giving away for free.
Okay. So maybe Amazon is tweaking their algorithms to devalue the free downloads?
Yeah, there's a lot. I've been reading a lot of blog posts and a lot of kind of forum threads on this subject, but that's one of the thoughts. And then also with Amazon Associates program, they ended – basically people were gaming the Associates program where they would host all these different free promotions on their blog, and if people went and downloaded free books, they would still get a 24-hour cookie where anything that they bought on Amazon, they would get an affiliate marketing commission from. So basically Associates came back and they ended – effectively ended that whole thing that people could do.
Okay.
So the people aren't getting quite the numbers that they want, and that, which has a trickle down effect to the free ebooks.
Okay. So your the topics of your books are primarily focused on internet marketing and your background in the affiliate space. Is there kind of an idea generation process that you went through? Like, kind of walk me through the first couple titles and how you came up with those.
Let's see. The first title actually really, I guess it's kind of ironic because the first title is about actually how to find ideas. So basically the first two, I basically spent not really knowing what I was doing. So after that, I decided to actually really take an approach and figure out how to actually identify what sells. So I actually generated a bunch of ideas. So basically, I just took all my old blog posts and kind of reverse engineered what actually would sell. And I figured that actually the Kindle publishing space, like information about the Kindle publishing space was pretty popular. But I definitely wasn't an expert on the topic at all. I knew I was an expert in trying to create a book about it wouldn't be fair to any readers. What I was good at is trying to figure out how to actually identify what would sell. So basically, I just took the idea of a Kindle topic and then broke down to one specific problem, the idea of being able to generate ebook ideas.
Okay.
And pretty much from there, a lot of times my ideas will all just go look at the books that are in the marketplace, look at the different categories. And the litmus test I use is the best-selling ranking of 20,000 or less, which basically equates to 5 books a day.
Okay.
Which is, if you're pricing at $2.99, it's about $10 a day. And for me, that's a win. If I can get a book to selling 5 books a day, I'm really happy. Basically I just look at the books in the marketplace, see what's selling, and if I find something that's selling that actually directly relates to something I've done, then I try to find a good hook point for that. So for instance, my fourth book was basically how to get 100,000 blog visitors. I looked at the charts and realized that the topic of blogging was important, but not really many people were talking about how to actually get blog traffic, and that was something I was pretty good at from my experience in the last couple of years.
Okay. So I think of a book and you think of like these big old tomes, like how long in maybe in words or pages, like does it take to be a book?
There's definitely a lot of disagreeing opinions. My baseline is around 15,000 words, and the longest I've written, I think, is around 22,000 words. So I try to hit the 15,000 word at the bare minimum, but then anything after that is just as much content as I feel really is appropriate for that particular topic.
Okay.
In the past, though, I've written, I would say, 13,000 or 14,000 words.
Okay.
But this still seems – I still price it all the same at $2.99. I guess really the important thing is I make sure I'm pretty much answering every question a reader has about that particular topic.
Gotcha. And so 15,000 words is that's not super long, but that's – I mean in Word, that would be, from my experience, probably maybe 50 or 70 pages. So it's not short either.
No, it's definitely not short. But I guess if you – kind of, if you develop the habit where you're getting up every day writing for an hour or two, it actually doesn't take very long if you're committed to doing it on a daily basis.
Okay, that was the next question, like how long it takes to create all that.
I would, for me, and I'm actually not the fastest writer. I really only average about maybe 1,000 decent words, actually more like 800 decent words an hour, and a 1,200 kind of rough draft words an hour. So there's some people that can do 2,000. I'm not too sure how they can do that, but
okay.
But
here's a guy who with 15 books in under a year who says he's not the fastest writer in the world. So that's I think that's inspiring for everybody.
Yeah, it's definitely if you commit to writing an hour a day, and obviously that's going to require some sacrifice, like maybe not watch television as much or get up an extra hour every single day and kind of lose a little bit of sleep. But it's definitely doable if you actually commit to doing it every single day.
Yeah, I found I think in March I did a 30-day writing challenge where I committed to 500 words a day, good, bad, or ugly. Just get that down on the page. And I think that habit of forcing yourself to create something, kind of make a little bit of progress each day, was really, really important.
Oh, absolutely. I think, like you said, even 500 words a day, that can definitely, you're just chipping away a larger goal by doing smaller things.
It can be pretty daunting to say like, oh God, I'm never going to finish this. But yeah, when you kind of take it step by step, it adds up over the course of a couple of weeks.
Definitely. And actually, one thing that I found is, don't be afraid to have the crappy first draft. Pretty much everything I've written, the first draft is just horrible. It's almost more what I call stream of consciousness writing, where I'm almost half writing, but half writing reminders to myself, but just having something down there.
Okay.
And then you come to the second draft, it's like you use what you previously wrote almost as a prompt to actually get down what you actually wanted to say.
Okay, great. Now, you're writing everything yourself, or have you tried outsourcing any of this stuff? Because that's kind of been a topic of conversation for some people.
Definitely. I have a couple of rules for how I use outsourcing. For the Steve Scott books, absolutely no. There's no outsourcing. I like to write those myself, because half the time the good stuff comes from me kind of going through that second draft and really realizing what I meant to say.
Okay.
What I am trying with, I'm starting a whole new personal development line of books. I'm working on my third and fourth right now. What I'm doing now is I'm outsourcing kind of the same idea with the rough draft. Is I basically outsource a really good quality rough draft, and then basically I'm going over that, doing almost a complete rewrite, but putting everything in my words. But I find that even just paying $500 for someone to come out with a pretty good rough draft, it saves me about a week of time.
Okay. And you find just high quality writers on Elance, or is there a special ghostwriter marketplace?
Yeah, I'm really sophisticated. I use Elance.
Okay.
I know there's lots of other places to find them. I think specifically if you want to go to the job board at problogger.net, that's another good place I've heard people use. But I found basically by just doing a mass catacall on Elance and really getting serious with your vetting process and really drilling down, trying to find someone who has specific knowledge with the topic you're trying to outsource, that really helps.
Okay. For people starting out, it seems like you hear about the kind of blockbuster stories of people making it big with fiction with one or two big hits, but it seems like maybe nonfiction starting out anyways is a better opportunity because people are willing to spend money to solve a problem or to help them make money down the road.
Absolutely. I think pretty much if you have some knowledge about topics, you can turn what you know into a pretty decent Kindle book. I think with the fiction, the idea with fiction is I think people have the home run mentality. They're trying to find that one or two books that's going to make them tons of money, whereas I find it's almost like a network effect with Kindle books where you want to write a bunch of stuff on a similar topic and build up an audience over time.
Yeah, because you're not going to go from unknown to you know, creating the next Harry Potter series or something. I mean, it could happen, but it's not likely.
Yeah, I think for every one story of like I forgot that person's name, E.L. James or something with the 50 Shades, for every one person like that, there's like thousands of people who built businesses just one book at a time.
Yeah, and so you've got quite a portfolio. And so, like you said, if at $2.99, five sales a day gives you about $10, so you're $300 a month times however many titles, you can definitely see how the potential is there to really make a significant business out of it.
Definitely. And there are some – I've had a couple of books that go way over the five books per day, and I have a couple that go under it. So it's more of an aggregate thing. So just don't stress out about individual books. Try to just build up a network of books.
And that's looking at the sales rank for similar titles or kind of similar titles in that topic area on Amazon, and looking – you said the target was 20,000?
Yeah, that's my general thumb. And actually, the last two books I've written, I've actually haven't even seen that number. I just wrote it because I actually felt like it's important to write about.
Okay. Have you been pretty loyal to KDB Select, or are you trying out? Some people have asked me about Barnes & Noble and what's the Sony, like the Kobo? Like, is there an advantage to distribution outside of Amazon?
I think there is, but I don't want to talk on my butt. Basically, I'm still all on KDP. All my books are even still in the KDP program just because I still get a significant amount of borrows, even though I'm not using the free days that much.
Okay.
Generally, let's backtrack. Borrows, a lot of times, they equal about $2 per borrow. So for me, it's pretty much like making a sale. So I kind of like those borrows, and that's more than 10% of my income. And generally, the rule of what I've heard is all the other platforms combined equals about 10% of what you can get with Amazon. With that said, I think Kobo is making a huge tracks into the market, and obviously Barnes & Noble has some numbers, and Apple potentially. I just haven't taken the time to actually move all my books into that platform.
Yeah, and it's even if people don't have the Kindle hardware, they can still get the iPad app, iPhone app. So there's still ways for them to access the content.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't even actually own a Kindle. I just read all my books on either my iPad or my iPhone.
Okay. Very good. Have you done any? So I just created my first CreateSpace paperback for my treadmill desk book, and have been surprised that people, and I put it up there at like $8.99 price point versus $2.99 for the Kindle edition, basically as a marketing tactic to make the Kindle look like a better deal. But surprisingly, some people have bought the paperback version, and so I was curious if you have tried that at all.
No, I haven't. Actually, I agree totally what you said about the marketing standpoint. The only reason I would do it because it does make the value of the Kindle book look better. For me, it's like an 80-20 thing where I'd rather the time I'd spend trying to figure out formatting and all that stuff, it could be time spent writing the next book.
Yeah. So that's what your virtual assistant's for.
Yeah, no, I totally, it's one of those things where I totally agree. I just don't do it. I think the idea of having a physical book it's a great idea. I'm kind of seeing something that's really working for me. So I'm just trying to be tightly focused on that one activity and not stressing out about it. How does my book look in paperback form?
Okay. Yeah, there may be something to that as well as it in terms of like adding legitimacy to it. Like, oh, it's even though it's still self-published, it's like, well, there is a physical copy, so maybe it's a step above just like the regular self-published.
And no, you're definitely right. And probably when I get back from vacation, I'm probably going to find the one book that sells the best, try to put that in paperback form, and then just see what happens from there.
Yeah, worth it to test out. So one thing you mentioned earlier is that the first couple titles were kind of compilations of blog posts that you had previously written. And I think that's a really good point for people who are thinking about starting, becoming an author. And you look back, and probably the best example is The 4-Hour Workweek. It goes on to be a number one bestseller. And then you find out after the fact, this was just a collection of blog posts that Tim Ferriss had written over the years.
You know, I didn't know that.
Oh, really?
And I've even read that book a couple of times. Oh, that makes sense because he has very long, detailed blog posts. Yeah, that's... you definitely can do that with KDP. My one warning is actually what I ultimately did do is go back and delete the blog posts that I referenced, because if you're giving books away for free through KDP, you can't really have it anywhere, even if it's your own content. So
okay.
what you can do, and I've actually repurposed some of my blog posts from my later book, is just do a simple rewrite of it. And if you've read it one time, it's pretty easy to go back over the content and change the text enough so you're not triggering Amazon's kind of duplicate filter doohickey.
Gotcha.
I don't know the fancy word for whatever it is.
Yeah, but no, that makes sense. I just wanted to bring that up for people. Like, you know, it can be a daunting task to say, "Oh, I've got to write this whole book." Well, I was thinking, well, some of it or a portion of it may already be written in something else you've already created.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's a great starting point, especially if you're a prolific blogger. You probably have tons of books just sitting on your website right now.
Yeah, and that's what Seth Godin has done probably half a dozen times.
Oh, yeah. He's the repurposed champion.
Yeah, definitely. So is this a feasible side hustle, like for somebody to do in their part time? You mentioned maybe an hour a day if you can commit.
Absolutely. I think it's definitely something you can do in your part time. I think the way Amazon's going is ultimately you definitely want to start building a brand outside Amazon, because you don't want to be like what they call a digital sharecropper, where you're building a business off of someone else's platform. So I would say you can definitely hustle. I would say get those first couple books out there and maybe start building a blog in addition to it, or a blog or a YouTube channel or a podcast like you do. You want to have some sort of other platform where you can build an audience that gets on your email list. And I think that's most important, is like you definitely want to have an email list, because if things change, you still have that group of people who like your content.
Okay. Speaking of email list, Email Marketing Blueprint, The Ultimate Guide to Building an Email List Asset, $2.99 on Amazon by Steve Scott.
That sounds familiar.
Awesome. Any other, I guess, tips for aspiring authors looking to get started on this platform? I think everybody should have a book. I think everybody's got a book in them. And, you know, there's no better, I was at a conference, he said, there's no better business card than saying you're a published author and say, hey, here's my book.
I think I was at the same conference. I heard that. I remember that line. Yeah, it's definitely, I would say just commit. I'm trying to think of actual actionable stuff. I would say definitely commit to the daily writing plan. I would do your research before writing a book. Don't just assume the market's going to buy something. Like, actually spend an hour or two, look at all the different books that exist on the platform. Obviously, don't go and rip off what's written, what's actually already published, but try to find your own hook or your own angle for the content that currently exists. I would say definitely build up a platform, definitely build up an email list. One trick, actually, if you do have an email list, when you actually release a book for free through KDP, you want to have some sort of blurb at the beginning of the book within the first 10%, so people can go to join your email list even if they don't buy your book or download your book.
And because that's what shows on the preview?
Yeah, exactly. I should have clarified that. Yeah, it's like even if a book is for sale, people can still click on the preview, see that you have an email list, and they can go join your email list. So you can.
Oh, that's a great tactic.
Yeah, I've used that all the time. I would say I get about 30 to 40 subscribers a day just from Kindle traffic.
Wow.
So it definitely helps to build up. Like, you can definitely use Amazon to build up your email list.
Yeah, that's huge. And so is there an end game in terms of, like, you know, making these $2.99 sales? Like, is there, you know, some people are using it for lead generation to sell something bigger, maybe personal coaching or some other information product, or you're just in it to sell more books?
Yeah, actually, the first strategy you just described, I think that's an excellent strategy, but it's not for me personally, because I like the idea of just using Amazon book buyers to buy more books. Actually, if I actually create a good low cost product that actually helps them the problem, they'll be more likely to go buy a second book, a third book, a fourth book. And I think for now, like, obviously maybe if I talk to you in about a year from now, my strategy might change, but I just like the idea of just keep on writing books that solve different aspects of running internet business. And for my habits website, it'll be different aspects of habit development, the idea that help them once and they'll be more likely to go buy more.
Right.
But like you said, like, people do successfully have information products that they upsell, or they get them to join an email list, and they can sell them affiliate products, or even just use their blog use the books that build up their blog platform. So there are many other things you can do with Amazon Kindle readers. I personally just like to turn book buyers into book buyers.
No, that works. That's great. Is this kind of your main focus for this year, or kind of like, is this a full-time gig for you?
Yeah, I've actually been doing internet marketing for about 10 years now, full-time since 2005. So I've been kind of changing strategies over the years. So I'm constantly adapting things. But I guess the one thing I'm actually trying is I'm still doing the Kindle stuff through Steve Scott, but with the aforementioned habits website, I have this whole theory that basically you can build authority presence by using Kindle books, and you can actually use the Kindle traffic to check out your blog, to join your email list, to buy mobile apps. So I'm actually trying this large-scale project that'll probably take me for the rest of this year and pretty much all of 2014.
Okay.
So yeah, it does involve Kindle. It's just one aspect of a main authority presence.
Yeah, it's a new yeah, a new marketing channel or a new, yeah, just a new way to go to market and get traffic to a site.
Definitely.
Well, very cool. So if everyone listening, go check out, Steve Scott's page on Amazon. You can just search him on Amazon, and also stevescottsite.com. Anywhere else people should find you?
Actually, I'll make it easy. And actually, I guess this is another tip. If you're publishing Kindle books, get a redirect URL. So anytime you talk to people or stuff, you can just rattle that off and people can easily find your book. My website for my Amazon books is ebooksbysteve.com.
Oh, perfect.
But yeah, just go to name.com and just register an easy to remember name and just have it automatically go to your books. And that's, you can help people easily find your content.
Great. Yeah, great idea there. Well, awesome. Thanks so much for coming on the show, and have an awesome time in Greece this summer.
Oh, thanks, Nick.
All right. There you have it. So one point of clarification, when Steve was talking about borrows on Amazon, when you're enrolled in KDP Select, another benefit is that Amazon Prime members can borrow your book for free. And each month there's a pot of money that Amazon distributes to the authors for that. And so like you mentioned, it usually works out to about $2 a borrow. And so as Amazon pushes Prime more and more, it's just one more benefit of granting them that exclusivity for your book. And I found that you can generate more borrows when you price your books higher, because I believe people only get one borrow a month, so they're more likely to spend it on an $8 or $9 book than a $3 book. So there's some sensitivity analysis and some testing to be done to find the optimal price point for your work. And that's our show. So tremendous opportunity out there. Even though the game is constantly changing, I'm still bullish on Kindle publishing and hope to have another title or two out in the near future. I'm curious, what do you think? Are you going to publish a book? Have you already? Let me know in the comments at sidehustlenation.com/episode9. Would love to hear from you. And a couple shouts to wrap up the show. Big Side Hustle Nation, thank you to Nick Ramirez 1 and Steven NM for the 5-star iTunes ratings. Love it. And if you like this free show, you can show your love by dropping in a quick review in iTunes. It really is a huge help and very much appreciated. Until next time, get out there and make something happen, and I will see you in episode 10, where we learn how one part-time blogger makes $3,000 to $5,000 every month. You won't want to miss it.
Thanks for listening to The Side Hustle Show at www.sidehustlenation.com.